The delightful spring weather is enticing people to venture outdoors and engage in various activities. Now, one of the favorite destinations is Korea's traditional palaces, which draws nearly 2 million foreign visitors each year. Now, there's one foreigner who's taking her love of ancient palaces and other Korean traditional heritage sites, not to mention her love of hanbok, to the next level. We're this morning joined by Sarah Shalaby. She joins us via Zoom to share her stories with us. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us, and you look beautiful. How early did you have to wake up to get dressed up in hanbok?
I was a little stressed. I woke up at 6 to be sure that everything will be ready.
Wow. Thank you so much for going out of the way. But you look incredible. And your pictures don't do you justice. How good does that hanbok look on you? Listeners, if you don't have a visual, please join us on Arirang Radio K-Pop YouTube. You really have to see her hanbok. Now, Sarah, get us caught up with your story. What brought you out to South Korea? And I understand your love of Gung, the palaces, hanbok, and traditional heritage stretches far and long. So what made you stay in Korea?
I'll tell you what brought me to South Korea all the way from France. I discovered Korea by chance at the end of 2019. And before, I had like no particular interest or knowledge about the country. But thanks to a K-drama, I had my first contact with the country. And it was love at the first sight. First, it was for the language, its sounds, its intonation, and then for the historical aspect. So my first question and curiosity was about the Korean language. And what is this language? How it was created and by whom? And the more I looked for the answers to my question, the more question I had. And for the hanbok, it was the same. I was very attracted by this clothes. So I was very curious about what clothes is that, why there is different shape and colors, what are the textures that go with these clothes. I had so many questions that grows my interest in culture and history. So I started learning the language on my own. But the truth is, if you want to learn more about the history, I first have to learn the language. So there is nothing like total immersion in the country to help you learn very quickly. So that's what I did. I left my job in a very big position in healthcare company, and I came to Korea to study the language at Seogang University. So that's how everything starts.
That's remarkable on a number of different levels, because you had a very steady, well-paying job, a high position, as you said, a healthcare company. And 2019 is right before the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken. And what a turning point in your life. And we're going to get to how many TV dramas you've watched in the last 5 years, but that's intense. 150 in 5 years. You dive deep when you really love something, don't you, Sarah? Okay. What are, based on what you've seen, at least, Sarah, as some charms of these ancient homes of Korean royalty, what is so attractive to you about these Korean palaces?
This is my favorite question. The charm of palaces is really endless. First, you have this architectural grandeur. It's very striking. It reflects the rich history and cultural heritage of Korea. And then you have these Korean palaces that showcase the traditional Korean architectural styles, which is characterized by this colorful paneled work, which is Damchon, the curved roof line, and this intricate wooden structure, which is Kiwa. So every detail has been like throughout and refined to bring out perfection and elegance. Everything has a meaning in palaces. And it starts outside of it with the two hetae in front of Gwanghwamun. And secondly, I would say it's the palpable sense of history within these palaces is truly captivating. Each stone, corridor, and courtyard seems to be whispered tales from Joseon Dynasty. And it offers you like a very profound connection of Korea's royal past. Yeah. And moreover, when you see the palaces, it's always surrounded by nature. It could be palaces or very huge garden. In this city, which is very busy, you can find moments of peaceful, like peaceness, inside the palaces. And it's really something that I adore about palaces in Korea.
Sarah, it's funny because I flew out to South Korea 12 years ago. I've been here a significant amount of time, and I keep telling myself the pace of Seoul City is so intense. I need a peace of mind. I need to find inner peace. I didn't think to look to the palaces to find that.
Yeah, like this is very crazy. It's very buzzy and everything, but when you go inside the palace, the sounds like reduce drastically, and everything is so quiet. You just hear like people talking or the birds and nothing else. So you can find your escape inside the city thanks to the palaces.
Sarah, I've spoken to many palace enthusiasts, but you might be the most convincing one of them all. Many have took me down on historical journeys, as you've did too, but the idea of inner peace in a bustling city like Seoul is a pretty rare occasion, something to seek in. Now, you're taking your passion for palaces to entirely different levels, not just, you know, uploading, you know, posts, beautiful images on your own Instagram, but you've also volunteered to contribute to Royal Culture Festival hosted by the CHA, the Cultural Heritage Administration. Can you tell us a little bit about that volunteer experience? What role did you play? And what are some of the most memorable moments?
I really loved this experience. That's why I applied this year too. And I will do it this year too, like in 2 weeks. So I was on the traditional game team. We had the Tuo, the Kongi, and the Tachichigi as games. So when visitors came to see us, we could play with them. It could be foreigners or locals. So it was a very funny atmosphere. Everyone just could play. And then even though if you cannot speak their own languages, you just need to show them and then they could do the same. So I really, really love that moment. And I can't wait for the next festival to start to enjoy again the same atmosphere. And I will say about my most memorable moment was when my friend from France, who I hadn't seen in over a year, came to Korea for my wedding. So it was her first trip here. And when she arrived, she came to see me at the palace. So I was dressed in hanbok, the toaso, the blue one, welcoming in the place that I love the most, a very different. So it was very high on emotion, because I was able to show her this place that I love so much, the history that I'm really passionate about. And getting her to participate in this different game was very fun. And to spend this time with her was forever engraved in my head. Mm-hmm. I really like these moments.
I mean, it sounds almost like a movie. You get to showcase everything you love at one site in one single moment. I couldn't plan it if I wanted to. Now, speaking of your wedding, surprise listeners, actually not really. It's expected for someone who loves hanbok and the traditional culture so much. You had a traditional Korean wedding at the Eunhyeongung Palace located in the heart of Seoul. First of all, I had no idea that you could get married there. And secondly, was this your idea? How was the ceremony? Were there any inconveniences along the way, considering that maybe not a lot of people do get, in fact, married here?
Oh, that's true. So my husband knows and I appreciate my passion for palaces, hanbok, and history in general. He helps me a lot to do what I like the most. So we already knew from the beginning that we are going to do a traditional wedding. It was like, no sense we're gonna do in the like wedding hall. There is no way. But we wanted really a ceremony that was meaningful, special, and keep my passion in. So my husband found and chose the Eunhyeongung Palaces to celebrate a wedding because he wanted a special place with history, meaning, and a place we could visit for a wedding anniversary every year. Mm-hmm. Because if you marry in a wedding hall, it's very beautiful. But if you want to celebrate this commemoration, it's weird if you go to the wedding hall. But if you go to a special place like these palaces, it has a really meaningful story. And because it's a real palace, it's not something that has been built recently. It has more meaning, especially for me that like history. So we really, really enjoy marrying over there. The weather was perfect. Everything was so perfect. The hanbok was just amazing. I didn't want to take it off. Yeah, we didn't encounter any inconvenience along the way. Everything was so smooth. Yeah, it was very perfect.
Sarah, Actually, I had to do a little bit of research because first and foremost, I was not familiar with the Onyangung Palace or who had lived there and the significance. And just to steal your thunder a little bit, it turns out Gojong lived in the residence until age 12 when he assumed the throne. It's also the site of the last royal wedding ceremony. So what a place to get married. It lines up perfectly with your interests.
Absolutely. That's why. Just talk about this wedding, this smile on my face is the most memorable moment that I had here in Korea. And I think in my whole life, doing what I like the most and being able to wear this kind of hanbok for this wedding was absolutely perfect. It was a dream, to be honest.
Sarah, going back to maybe the beginning of today's interview, you said you by chance came across a Korean TV drama in the year 2019. And since then, you've watched 150 TV dramas. Is that right?
That's right.
I bet you that's more than my entire team combined. All right, Sarah, it must be tough. But first, I have to ask you, what was that first TV drama that you watched in 2019? And since then, has your favorites changed at all?
Yeah, so the first one was named My Korean Odyssey. So it was kind of mixed with past and present. So I could see a little bit like of hanbok and palaces and could be able to see the Korean dishes. And I was very, very intrigued. So thanks to this drama, I had so many questions, but no answer. I was like, oh, I really need to get deep into this. And so I keep watching drama, and my favorite one are the historical drama, because they are not just entertainment, but also a way of learning about history and culture. So two of my favorite drama are Puri Kipun Namu and Six Giant Dragons. They are very, very long drama.
I was going to say.
Yeah, very, very long. The first is about history of King Sejong's creation of the Hangul. And the second one is about the creation of Joseon Dynasty. So when I watch this kind of drama, I always check on internet, like, oh, is this true? Is this king did this kind of thing? So it makes me learn more deeply about history and culture. So that's why I really like this kind of historical drama.
Okay.
I'm wearing hanbok.
It's a nice bonus, but it's kind of a gateway into some of the history lessons. And then you do a deeper research after watching the TV dramas. As showcased today so beautifully by you, Sarah, you clearly harbor a deep fondness for hanbok. It's not very surprising that you like the TV productions that are period productions, the palaces, the hanbok. It's almost like a trifecta. But tell us, what makes the hanbok so special for you?
The first time I wore a traditional hanbok, it was at Cheongdo-kung, and I knew it would be something very special for me. Like I never imagined once that I would be wearing one for my wedding too. I think hanbok is not just a clothes, it's really an identity. When I wear hanbok, I don't think I'm just wearing clothes. I think I'm wearing all the history and meaning in it. So originally, when you see someone wearing hanbok, you can tell their marital status or social class. So I think it's very important to wear hanbok with respect. And everything has a meaning. It can be the color or the fabric used. So on my social networks, I promote traditional clothing and its history. So when you go to palaces or Bukchang Hanok village, you can see a lot of tourists wearing hanbok, but to tell the truth, it's not the traditional one. So I really would like tourists to get to know the traditional hanbok and being able to experience wearing one. So if they visit any palaces wearing a real traditional hanbok, they will feel the history like 100% during their visit. So the experience will be totally different. Yeah, so I wish there is less this kind of hanbok and more the traditional one.
To feel the more deeper connection with the traditional hanbok, right? I understand the appeal, right? You're a tourist, easy in, easy out, accessibility is a big thing, but there is definitely more than you can take away from a more authentic experience, as you've said, right? But we might add the traditional hanboks are much, much, much more expensive.
Yeah, that's true, but you don't need to wear it every day.
That's
So
true.
I think if you did it just once, you will very feel what people felt at the time. And your experience will be so completely different, rather than all the thinking.
Sarah, I can't believe we're running out of time. This has been great fun, but just for a change of pace, I just want to ask you this question. I know Korea has a lot of beauty to offer. It's what kept you here long term, but we can always do better, right? So what can Korea work on? Which aspects of Korean society do you think are in need of improvement? I think you alluded to one. We're a very busy city.
That's true. As a foreigner residing in Korea, or mainly about the Korean society?
Both.
So I will say first about the Korean society that could and should be improved is, without any doubt, the birth rate.
Sure.
It's a subject that comes up when you're learning Korean language too at university, and this is a subject that often comes up when you do the topic. It's always about the birth rate and how can you improve and change it. So it's now the Korea is the talk of the world, this time not for history or technology, but the fact that Korea could disappear at this rate. So yeah, as a foreigner, it's quite a part to understand why there is no baby. Yeah.
Something we can
But
work on.
so quite a part to understand that.
And as a foreigner living in Korea, because we've been a homogenous country for so long, have you come across any difficulties?
Oh yes. A specific request that I would like to make is to help improving the foreigner identification services. It can be very complicated, even more if you speak just a little Korean or not at all. And especially for foreigners with several first name or hyphen in the first name, everything became so complicated. Yeah, this is something like if they can change it, it's like
Just a better system. I know the feeling because my family members are also American on paper, and it makes it really difficult. One hyphen, all capital letters, that kind of thing, right?
lifesaver for
All
real.
right, we can do better. Thank you so much, Sarah. It's been a pleasure. Where can our listeners connect with you? Can you tell us your social media outlet?
Oh yeah, it's super easy. It's Perry, and then you have the, oh, I don't remember.
Underscore, underscore.
Thank you, underscore two, and then so.
Thank
So, because I really want to be a bridge between both culture.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.